Harass the Bear Public Affairs Program every Sunday. And for those of you waking up at 7 o'clock, you get the first listen to it, and then online at WHLC.com. And our mayor, Patrick Taylor.
Good morning, Steve.
Highway 64 near the Cherrywood area, Jackson County line. We've got that closure. We've got to fix the culverts, and we're keeping our infrastructure updated.
I'll just start by saying this. We have two projects now on our Carter Roads. DOT is doing soil nail installations and repair at Bridalveil Falls, as well as replacing the old compromised culverts, as you said, out by Cherrywood Lane and the Jackson County line. I know it's inconvenient, both of these projects, but I applaud DOT. They're being proactive. 1 year ago, we were dealing with 106 being washed out because of a failed culvert. I'm glad that they're redoing those old culverts to help handle stormwater removal. If they had not been proactive over at Bridalveil, that whole road could have washed out, and then we really have delays and shutdowns and problems. So I know it's inconvenient, but it's work that must be done, and the longer we postpone that, the more at risk of having major road failures.
The town app there and finding all about it and everything being pushed there. And also emergency crews, you talked about this, will be let through.
I know that some people have been concerned, and we've been talking with Tom Neal, the administrator at the hospital, has been talking with DOT, and the understanding is, and the protocol is, if there was an emergency, for example, an ambulance that needed to get through, road crews would stop what they were doing and make a pathway for that ambulance to proceed. Also, I know Chief Gearhart, our fire chief, has been talking with the fire department at Cashers. Part of our fire district could be impacted by that road closure, and if that happens, then the fire department from Cashers will do the response to any kind of emergency or fire. Hopefully, none of that happens, but we need to be prepared. If you absolutely have to get from Cashers to Highlands during these road closures from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. on those designated work days, then you can go down 107 in Cashers East, catch Whiteside Chapel Road, that will then put you at Horse Cove Road, and you can come up Horse Cove to Highlands. The best thing to do is to just make plans to avoid 64 during those closures. Somebody called into our office who lives out in one of the country clubs that would be impacted by the closures and said, well, we were planning on coming into Highlands for dinner the night of the first closure, and this is very inconvenient. If you want to do that, take that detour that I just referenced, or you might want to have to eat in Cashers that night if that's blocking, and vice versa. If you were planning to go eat in Cashers from Highlands, you'd need to just make plans, adjust your plans to eat in Highlands. So we're just going to have to all work together as a community until this work is done in about 3 weeks.
You mentioned CEO Tom Neal with that $5 million investment, MRI, CT scanner. Man, that's state of the art.
It was a wonderful day. We had the ribbon cutting, and I was honored to make some remarks at the ribbon cutting. And then after the ceremony, there were tours through the new imaging and testing centers and also the rehab gym that they have. Everyone was just really impressed with this new facility. I want to give a shout out to Tom Neal for his leadership and his staff that have worked for this, and HCA that has invested in the hospital in creating this first-rate facility. I came away from that, Steve, saying, I know we don't like to use those kind of facilities because it might be indicative of a problem that we're having, but if you need that service, you need to just stay right here in Highlands in the Cashers area and use that facility because it is first rate. And in my remarks, I made the observation that my doctor ordered some scans about 6 months ago while they were constructing this. So I used the Highlands facility, the MRI machine. The results were sent to the specialist. I was just kidding at this event saying, I want a redo. I just think that we should all support the new facility. The rehab facility was really impressive with all the equipment that they have. And one of the things that just amazed me was that they have this digital imaging machine that projects games on tables that people that need that type of therapy can avail themselves of, hand-eye coordination, physical therapy type games. And the staff, they're really well-trained and dedicated to providing these services. So my advice to everyone, if you need the service, don't go off the mountain. Stay here and support this new facility.
With what's going on with the federal government, our shutdown, and could the hospital be affected by these healthcare cuts?
Well, I will say this. I'll just share with you conversations that I've had with him. And we have meetings of elected officials with our hospital administration frequently. And in a recent one, I was very candid. And I said, stories are that with these changes to the reimbursement system at the federal level, Angel Medical Center and the Highlands Cashiers Hospital could be impacted to where they would have to close. And Tom was real short with me and said, that is not true. These facilities will not close. There might be some adjustments that have to be made. He said that HCA and all the people are still committed to making sure that those facilities remain open. And I would say this too, both Angel Medical and the Highlands Cashiers Hospital, they're in a pretty populous area. Facilities that are very vulnerable are those that are in very remote rural areas throughout the nation. So I think that we don't need to worry about the loss of our hospital, nor Angel, or anything in the HCA system. Will there be changes? Will there be adjustments that might impact people and what they have to pay? That story's still evolving.
Merchandising on Main Street, the ordinance. I haven't seen the two stores where people are on the sidewalk on Main Street, and we're going to be changing that ordinance, but that's going to be at the next meeting.
We talked about it and reviewed it and discussed it at the workshop last month. Now we will put that ordinance as a formal item on the agenda for the October board meeting. That means that the board could vote and approve and implement that new ordinance. I've gotten a lot of feedback from merchants and residents that we need to improve the existing ordinance to curtail this idea of hawking and promoting products on the sidewalks. People ought to have the option to freely walk down the main street of Highlands and in the business area without being bombarded with people trying to sell products. The board hears that very clearly. There will be changes. I think there'll be changes to the ordinance, and I think that we're going to do more enforcement and different ways of enforcing that to make sure that people want to come and visit our downtown area.
That break-in of the high-end bag store investigation still continuing?
It is still continuing. Our police are also working with other law enforcement agencies, and they're building a case. Let me just say this. I'll appreciate patience with the public. The police have to be very methodical in acquiring evidence and establishing probable cause, because when they go to court under the Constitution, they get one chance to charge someone and make their case for conviction. Sometimes we feel slow, but they have to be very precise and deliberate when they bring a charge forward.
Mirror Lake, Phase 1, we talked about that last week, but Phase 2 and 3 and 4, we're using of state funds, and we'll also want to shout out to the Improvement Association. They're going to raise some more money.
Phase 1 is complete. All the equipment has been removed by river sand. What I was really impressed with was where they had the bag and where they were working on the island. They did restore the soil, and then they hydro-seeded the area. And with the rains that we had and the sunshine in the morning, I was riding by there at the end of this past week and got beautiful green grass growing again. So that's very positive. The next phase will be for McGill Engineering to finalize the dredging construction documents, getting all the permits. And one of the challenges that they're facing is getting a permit to deposit the sediment in a designated area, as that it might take a little longer than they anticipated. They're trying to find a location which is close to Highlands, which will save money, which means we can do more dredging. They expect to have all of those documents done, hopefully in early 26. Once those documents are done, they will put the project out for bid, and then let the contract, and phase two will resume and they'll continue to do the dredging. If you think that phase one was disruptive, you haven't seen anything yet, because that was about 10% of the project. There's going to be a lot of sediment moved. I mean, thousands of tons of sediment will have to be removed from the Mirror Lake area and then transported. So that's going to be a real big effort. I was really gratified that the folks of the Mirror Lake Improvement Association, Pat Gleason and his offices, they're still wanting to be engaged in the process. They funded phase one. They would like to now continue to raise money. I think they'd like to raise another $2.5 million so they can enhance the dredging, put in some catch basins and things, so we don't have the problem of having to continue to dredge in the few years. So I'm really gratified that they want to continue their efforts to improve on this project by raising more money so we can do more. It will take a number of years to complete. Once it's done, it will improve the watershed and the quality of the environment in that area.
I don't think people understand how much it really costs to keep our water and our lands free of any problems.
The stormwater runoff, as we're going back at the beginning of the program about culverts that let the water flow and containing sediment and dredging, it's all related as a part of maintaining the critical watershed that we have here on the plateau.
Yeah, people come here by the thousands during holidays, and people living here year-round, but the leaf season coming, we want this place to be pristine or as perfect as possible for people to get around.
There we go, and I hope that we have a good leaf season. Hopefully, this closure of the federal government won't have that bad of an impact on our national parks, the Great Smoky Mountain National Park and the Blue Ridge Parkway. The closure, as we are recording this, just went into effect. We haven't really determined the total impact of that yet, but I know from looking at the tourist industry here, which they could maybe lose $1 billion in Western Carolina, this would be the worst time for us to see a setback in tourism during the leaf season in all of Western Carolina, because we're just reeling from a year later after Hurricane Helene. So many businesses have recovered and now they're ready for customers. So I hope that this government closure won't dampen the effort to get more people to come visit us here during this beautiful leaf season.
I've seen reports of federal funding being held on many, many states. I don't know if North Carolina is going to be affected by that.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. I suspect our legislative delegations and our governor would be up front and outspoken if that were to occur.
Heritage Day. We had a great weekend last weekend. We did have some weather, though, the Navy band, and you were out there, wanted to hear them, and then here comes the thunder and lightning.
I did. I had another event, but I got there right around 2. I was hearing them from the parking lot. I was walking, and then I got to the site. It was a great group, really talented musicians. I was standing next to Officer McCall, who was there just kind of monitoring the whole thing. And all of a sudden, we heard this big lightning bolt and thunder. And she said, "We got to stop." And by that, that's not something that they just arbitrarily decide. There are rules that you have to follow for outdoor events. So they had to stop and wait for the thunder to pass. So I got to hear one song, and then it started raining about as soon as they said we had to stop. And then that rain continued for maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours, just constant. So that was a damper, but they resumed the celebration, and it was a great event. I hate to see us have those rain events with our outdoor concerts. Maybe I can raise money to put a giant dome over the park. I'll get to work on that one.
I can see the see the Taylor Dome. I've been using that town app and all of the verifications, all the notices being pushed, and everybody get that app. You've asked for it, now here it is.
If there's any changes or information about the road closures or anything like that, as soon as we get those updates, we pass them on the town app.
Mayor Patrick Taylor, our honorable mayor, and Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday and then on WHLC.com.